Now, once again, very happy to welcome back Vicky Buckley. We always have good conversations. Vicky, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Now, you're a divorce solicitor at vblegal.ie, and I think one of the products, really, of this housing crisis is a term we describe as same house, different households.
That's the one, yeah.
And describe that for us.
So I suppose it's a situation where the relationship is over, but neither party can actually move out for many different reasons. Primarily because there isn't housing stock there, so people just can't say, right, that's it, we're done, let's sell the house, move on. They can't. So we do have a lot of same house, different households.
Okay.
And if you think about that phrase, it kind of speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Ordinarily, in a lot of cases, you'd have that in older people in their kind of late 50s, 60s, where the kids are growing up, and there's just the two in the family home at that point. And I suppose what people are doing is they're just kind of living independent lives, you know, while residing under the same roof.
How difficult must that be?
I guess it depends on the situation. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember we were talking ages ago, like after COVID and how that kind of showed cracks in relationships because people, you know, who didn't really know each other anymore ended up living, you know, when jobs were gone and you couldn't go out, that they were back living in the same house. And they may have spent the past 15, 16 years raising kids, you know, just passing each other in the night, and all of a sudden it's just two people who really just, you know, don't know each other anymore and they have to continue to live in the house. I think it depends on the situation. You know, I think it's probably quite lonely for people. It'd be quite isolating. You know, we do unfortunately end up getting applications for domestic violence orders from that due to the tensions that might arise in that type of a kind of a pressure pot situation.
Can't be good for kids either.
It can't be good for kids. And, you know, every time we'd speak, I would say to you, we have to remember that they are the priority. Do you know what I mean? And there's a phrase I heard there a few months back, and I thought it was really good, that, like, you know, if people stopped hating each other and focus more on loving the kids, then it becomes an easier household for the children. So I don't know. Look, as the solicitor in the situation, I have to be objective about it. And I have to say, you know, I understand that it is particularly difficult, but here's what we think we should do, or here's how we think we could move it. Because, you know, if I do start thinking about how hard it is for people, and I imagine it's horrendous in some cases. In other cases, I imagine it's fine. They just kind of move on with their lives. But we have to remember that, you know, the kids have to be the priority. You know, it's our responsibility as parents to make sure that they're getting every little chance they get. I'm not talking about finance or holidays or anything like that. It's just basic, you know, love and affection, and know that even though, you know, the parents may not still be in a relationship, that they are loving them as best they can.
Yeah. In your practice, Vicky, are you representing one side or the other, or would you be mediating maybe with both people consulting you collectively?
No, we wouldn't do mediation. We would act for one side or the other. But I'll be honest with you, I have a lot of really good colleagues, and, you know, we are very aware of the emotional stresses that are involved in it, and we would talk to each other about trying to move things on or trying to get some kind of settlement. I suppose professionally we're obliged in any event, but I am lucky in that I have a lot of really decent colleagues that we can actually have a conversation and say, look, we have to sort this out.
In general, how many demands, because there are always demands in a divorce, I imagine, how many of them are just never going to work?
Oh, gosh, that is a whole different entire show of an answer on that. Every single divorce is so different. Every single separation is so different. Even if you have, you know, two families living next door in exactly the same houses in a housing estate, both working in the same jobs, both the same children, the results and the demands will be so different in each situation. You could have, you know, a serious high net worth divorce, millions of, you know, euros, houses, shares, companies, all that kind of thing. And it might fall apart over, I don't know, the good chair in the living room. Because somebody might say, well, I want that, and if I don't get that, then it's done.
Oh, the dog.
You know what I mean? Oh, well, the dogs, yeah. Look, I have a soft touch for the dogs anyway. They are a priority for me here. But furniture, cups, Alison, you know. But, you know, you have to be, you have to look at it objectively, because I might say, sure, that's ridiculous. We've spent 4 hours now doing a negotiation. We have a really good settlement. Everyone's provided for, and you're taking issue over this. But that might be the emotional, you know, little bit that they're hanging on to. You don't know with people, and it's not for me ever to mm-hmm. judge as to what's important or not important to people. We just have to kind of keep it on the provision element, because that's what the court will do. They have to be satisfied when we go into them that all of the parties, including the children, have been provided for.
And what about divorces where there are no children involved? For instance, an older couple whose children have flown the nest. I think they call them grey divorces, do they?
I don't know. Viv was just saying that to me there. I hadn't heard it. Okay, so I suppose we need to look at that in a different way. Because, so, say the generation now whose children are grown up and gone. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, a lot of my own friends, their kids will be up and gone as well. But just say you're in their mid-60s, that kind of way, and they're in the house and their own, the kids are gone. The first thing we need to look at there is they would probably be only the first generation, really, of divorce in this country, because it only came in 1996.
96, yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's a big shift in a mindset. So say you have a situation whereby they're both working, the kids are grown up, you know, what do you do there? They both can't stay in the house. So, like, there's different, so many different options in it, but let's put it down to the fact that somebody wants to sell the house and the other person doesn't. It then comes down, and it's awful. The entire marriage will come down to maths and how much value is put on that property and how much they can get out of the property and how much they'll get each when the property is sold.
And some couples might be forced to sell and divide, and some couples might have one partner buying out the other.
You're never forced, and that's really important, because I know with clients and speaking with colleagues, and I'm knocking on the courts nearly 20 years now, right? That 3 o'clock in the morning panic mode where you think, you know, somebody has come up and said, I'm telling you now, the relationship is done, I'm going to sell the house, you're out in your ear, you have to go back to your mother's, or, you know, whatever the conversation is. Nobody is going to be forced out of their house. We have an act called the Family Home Protection Act. Okay, so when people are having their 3 o'clock in the morning freak out and saying, that's it, I'm going to be homeless, I have to go back to my mother's, I don't know what to do with my life, it's not going to happen. There is no court in the land going to force somebody out of their family home, unless now there's a barring order, and that's a whole different
conversation. Okay, does that mean that that one partner cannot force sell the house on the other partner, no, if the other partner wishes to stay in the family home?
You cannot force the sale. It's 50, just call it 50-50, right, for ease of example. Mm-hmm. You can't sell half of a half. Do you know what I mean? If the property is jointly owned, and even if it's not, if it's the family home, there are protections in it. And if you go into court, the judge is going to say, right, well, if that house, just say, because I'm past maths all day long, right, if that house is worth 300,000, you're going to sell it, you're going to get 150,000 euros each if we put it on the market. Yeah. So what do you want to offer me to leave the family home? But the court will not make a ruling unless they're satisfied that whoever is leaving the property has been provided for and that they can go and set themselves up again. Not in the same situation, because you're going from one house with two incomes to two houses with one income
each. Exactly,
so it's
one
going
income
to be
each.
Different.
Yeah.
So, you know, like for like, yes, if we're up in the High Court and there's a high net worth divorce, and it's a different type of negotiation. But what's really important is they're all the same. The negotiation has to end up with provision, proper provision for all of the parties. There's no court in the land saying, yeah, listen, this relationship is over, you want to get over yourself and move out.
Okay. I've got a question for you, Vicky, by text. Hi, Mick. I'm in an unhappy marriage with my husband. The love is gone, but I'm afraid that I will not survive financially if I leave. What would I be entitled to? We both work, we earn similar wages, but I would not be able to buy a second home. What would I be entitled to if we end up co-parenting?
Okay. So there's a lot in what they're saying, right? Unfortunately, it is a maths conversation where we sit down and you actually say, how I would start this now, Mick, and this is what I do with everyone, is there's two boxes up on my desk, right? One is the legal issues and one is the emotional issues. You leave the legal issues here and you go and look after yourself and your children and your broken heart in the other box. So with regards to legal on that question, if the property is jointly owned, okay, and they need to move out, what are they entitled to? It very much depends on their own situation. It sounds like they're both working. If the family home was to be sold, that would have to take into account the age of the children, where they're going to school, what clubs and societies that they're involved with. There's a lot in that, but if they want to send me a quick email, we'll be able to point them in the right direction.
Okay, and they'll find you at vblegal.ie. Another question by text. What happens with pensions in divorce?
Yeah, so it's kind of a hot topic there at the minute. So strictly speaking, the spouse under the legislation is entitled to a percentage of the other partner's pension. Now, depending on the situation, so strictly speaking from the off, yes, you are entitled to have a poke off somebody's pension, right? Again, it comes down to each individual situation. If you have two good pensions, they might want to protect their own pension each, and then we call that a nominal pension adjustment order, where you get nothing from the other person's pension, but you are entitled to it. Now, the thing about pensions is this, right? You can't draw them down in a lot of cases, unless now maybe you're in the guards or whatever and you can bring your prison service 55. If you are at a pension where you can't draw it down till you're 65, you then are actually tied inadvertently to that person until they retire. So pensions is something to be considered in negotiations, is what I would say.
And that's something people can also get by contacting vblegal.ie. Enlightening to talk to you, as always, Vicky. And I must say, you gave me a giggle there, because something you said was a new one on me. When you said, hang on, Mick, because I'm past maths all day long.
I am past maths all day. I'm telling you now, I actually have a whiteboard in the office to draw it out so that nobody is left confused when they're leaving.
Thanks a million, Vicky. Vicky Buckley, divorce solicitor at vblegal.ie. News at 11 next. Thanks.